Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Last week, two residents and four staff at the Denali Center in Fairbanks tested positive for COVID-19. The outbreak prompted the testing of all of the long-term care facility's residents and staff, and the results have turned up one additional positive case in a resident. Denali Center Administrator Liz Woodyard shared the news during a Fairbanks Unified Command press briefing yesterday.
It is a female who is over 90, and she's doing very well. The other two residents that are positive are also doing well. One was on the medical floor, and she's improved so much that she was transferred back to Denali Center.
Woodyard said the outbreak of COVID at the long-term care facility has prompted serious concern at the local and state level because of the center's residential environment and compromised health status of its residents. She said protective measures put in place earlier continue to be followed.
We have prohibited all visitors. And our staff also is taking their temperature twice a day. In addition, we're using full PPE for CARES. The residents are wearing masks. The residents are self-isolating. And we're restricting physical movement within the Denali Center. So we're keeping staff on each neighborhood and not having staff go between neighborhoods.
It's unclear if Denali Center residents and staff will be retested for COVID-19 over time. Calling the situation uncharted ground, officials with the center's operator, Foundation Health Partners, say retest is the subject of active discussion with state health system colleagues. The state government mandated shutdown of Alaska's restaurants, bars, gyms, and theaters will continue indefinitely. Alaska Public Media reports that at a daily coronavirus press conference late yesterday, Governor Mike Dunleavy extended health mandates, keeping the public gathering places closed until further notice. The closure mandates, which were originally scheduled to expire last night, also include libraries and museums, among other facilities. The announcement came as the number of Alaskans diagnosed with COVID-19 grew by another 10 to 143. The new cases include 3 in Fairbanks, 2 in North Pole, 2 in Anchorage, and 1 each in Juneau, Ketchikan, and Wasilla, that community's first confirmed case of the novel coronavirus. There have been 9 hospitalizations. Governor Dunleavy says so far Alaska's numbers have been manageable.
But any day we could report to you a spike, a large spike, a continued spike. We hope that doesn't happen.
Dunleavy says he and the state's health team think the measures that have been taken are helping, but caution the situation could still get worse.
We just are looking at the models, and we think that we're going to be in for a tougher ride here in the next couple of weeks. We hope we're wrong.
Health officials were still reporting 0 confirmed cases in the state's northern and southwest regions. Alaska's chief medical officer, Dr. Ann Zink, said not having cases in rural towns and villages could be attributed to less travel to those places, as well as their smaller populations, but acknowledged that the lack of information could simply be due to minimal testing.
You know, I can't speak to every single test and where they've been done, but there's been numerous places, and we continue to try to encourage testing broadly across the state, because the more we can test, the more quickly we can identify cases, potentially end a cluster, and be able to support local communities.
State health officials say more than 5,000 coronavirus tests have been completed in Alaska. The Alaska National Guard is mobilizing to assist with the state's coronavirus response. Alaska Public Media reports that the Guard is putting dozens of volunteer Guard members on active duty. State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management Public Information Officer Jeremy Zedek says the Guard's planes and helicopters could be key to helping sick people in rural Alaska.
Transporting patients to advanced medical facilities is the primary thing that they're preparing for.
Zedek says the state is coordinating with the Coast Guard and air ambulance services, as well as private air carriers that have already been used to fly test kits and personal protective equipment around Alaska. He says the state's unified command could call on the Guard to transport supplies by air or land, to build temporary shelters or produce clean drinking water, and generally have manpower available for a wide range of tasks. Zedek says members of a separate but related volunteer group, the Alaska Defense Force, have been working at an Anchorage warehouse to help organize personal protective equipment and other supplies from the national stockpile. And Zedek says orders for bigger missions will come from the governor, likely at the request of local governments in need.
And when their local capabilities have been overwhelmed, then we look at utilizing other state agencies or the Alaska National Guard to fulfill that mission. In some cases, we may be able to call upon a private industry to do that, but often during disasters, the Guard has to come in and fulfill those critical roles.
Alaska National Guard Lieutenant Colonel Candace Olmsted says the Guard has called up 65 members since last week. Olmsted says about 700 Guard members have filled out paperwork, making them eligible to be put on active duty at a moment's notice.
When you join the National Guard, you know that you could be called in times of emergency or disaster to help your state.
They're a volunteer force, meaning they have volunteered their time, but Olmsted points out that active duty Guard members do get paid.
It's a wonderful option at this time when so many people have been laid off from their jobs.
Olmsted says the Guard's aircraft include fixed wing and helicopters, everything from massive C-17 Globemaster transport planes to HH-60 Pawhawk helicopters used in wilderness and battlefield rescues. She says the helicopters in particular could be useful in rural Alaska where areas to land can be limited. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security has extended the deadline for getting a real ID by a year to October 2021. KOTZ reports that federally compliant real IDs were set to be required by October of this year for anyone traveling by plane throughout the U.S., and the extension is a relief to many rural Alaska residents who have had a hard time getting their IDs because many don't have access to a Department of Motor Vehicles office. Now the coronavirus pandemic is making DMV access difficult for people throughout the United States. In a statement, Acting DHS Secretary Chad Wolf said, quote, states across the country are temporarily closing or restricting access to DMVs. This action will preclude millions of people from applying for and receiving their real ID, unquote. Wolf says the extension will give the government time to work with Congress to get the IDs issued as soon as possible once the coronavirus health crisis subsides. There's been a steep reduction in flights around Alaska due to the coronavirus pandemic. KDLG reports that the state's largest regional airline, Raven Penair, has adjusted its operations. Raven Public Relations spokesperson Debbie Reinwand said in an email that bookings are down by almost 90% and the flight schedule has been reduced a commensurate amount. The airline is still serving 112 communities but has dropped three routes, Anchorage to Fairbanks, Anchorage to Kotzebue, and Fairbanks to Deadhorse. Reinwand says those areas are being served by other carriers. Raven also grounded all Saab aircraft, 1-8 and several Piper Navajos. Last week, Raven laid off over 160 employees. Its staff normally numbers over 1,300. The air group CEO and other officials say they are taking a 20% pay cut. I'm Dan Bross.